Can I talk about another one of my favorite ingredients that has come to our lives later on?
Of course.
And that is hominy, which leads us kind of to another of our favorite dishes, Jodi, or mine anyways, is pozole, which is like a rich, meaty stew slash soup that has hominy in it. Do you know what hominy is, Amy?
I do not. Tell me more. Welcome to Chef Over Your Shoulder, our podcast about the connections we make through cooking, pairing professional chefs, Jodi and Kirsty from the Culinary Studio, with me, a burn to the bottom of the pan expert, creates the perfect recipe to demystify the kitchen and bring back the joy of cooking without the pressure. Today, we're talking about Mexican food. And if you're anything like me, Mexican food at home pretty much means ground beef, packaged taco spice, and that yellow box of taco shells. Sound familiar? Well, today, Jodi and Kirsty are taking us on a full culinary adventure, and we are reinventing Taco Tuesday. We talk about an easy, delicious, homemade spice blend that replaces that dusty package forever. Jodi and Kirsty also share their favorite chili sauce, which Kirsty says makes her feel genuinely rich when it is stocked in her freezer. And yes, we absolutely talk tacos, but we talk about so much more than that, such as the art of taco garnishes, a rice bowl revelation that I honestly cannot wait to try at home, and taco neck. This episode is going to change the way you think about Mexican food at home, and I promise you, it's way easier than it sounds. Somebody said that was healthy somewhere along the way.
I've heard it's healthy too, but I never gravitate towards it. Is kombucha good, Jodi?
I love it.
Do you?
I'll tell you why, because you're like, I heard that health is healthy. It's good for the gut, right? Like, it's fermented. It's like drinking sauerkraut juice, but doesn't taste like sauerkraut, but it is sour. But it's lower in sugar. As a diabetic, it's hard to find delicious drinks that are not sugar laden.
Yes. I don't drink anything. I drink water and vodka.
And gin.
And gin. Yeah, gin. Vodka, gin, and sugar-free Fresca with the gin.
And Crystal Light. I thought you added your Crystal Light flavor.
No. Yeah, we did that too. Steven's moved to Fresca in this like flavored elderberry gin or something. I don't know.
Okay.
He makes it. I drink it. It's good.
Apparently Fresca mixed with spice rum tastes like a creamsicle.
Is that what all the kids are drinking? Fresca and rum?
I don't think the kids are drinking Fresca.
I know. The constant sugar battle gets me all the time. Okay, so we'll move on from kombucha, and we're talking Mexican today. But before we get into that, we need to go back to Asia, because we talked about stir fry in our last episode, and I made a stir fry. Actually, correct, we made a stir fry.
More success in the wheeze, right?
Yes, more success in the wheeze. And Stephen likes stir fry. He likes actually cooking stir fry. Again, we just didn't have all the dance moves, as you guys say. So I took everything that you said, and we went shopping and we found all the four ingredients for the sauce. The sauce was great. I would never go back to a jar because it was just so yummy. Everybody loved it. Easy to make. I did really enjoy the sauce. That was great. So we got all the ingredients. We didn't get a wok, but it's on the list now. Steven's like, yeah, now I want a wok.
Do you see how it would make a difference?
The wok?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stephen did the cooking. I did like the prep work. And so he was like, I can see absolutely how the wok would help. We just ran out of time because we wanted to make it. But so it was great. I mean, funny, you know, I thought that the taking the food in and out was excellent because nothing got soggy. But, you know, that generates, it was a little more work than I thought. So you're right, Jodi, the we made it way more fun. It's doing it on your own the first time or the first few times, I might have not had as much fun, but we made it. Everybody loved it. And super successful.
That's great.
And continue to do it, right? Like, even I find that now I can, I even myself, I'm like, I am so confident that this can be dinner quickly because I've done it 10 times now over the course of right? And it really then is super, super stress free.
Yes, we did it Sunday dinner because we needed more time, but I can see as we practice, it could move to Wednesday dinner.
Yes.
With practice, a Wednesday dinner. I do want to clarify, by soggy vegetables, you really mean overcooked.
Yes.
Yeah. They're overcooked and mushy, not soggy.
Not soggy. They were mushy because I would have cooked the vegetables first because I didn't want to overcook the meat. And then the vegetables would just stay in there and keep cooking. Like, I don't know why I thought that was a good idea to begin with.
Just cooked the bejeebers out of them.
Just kept cooking them. You know, it was great.
And it's really not that much work. Cook out, cook out, yes. Cook out, right? Yes. Like,
the interesting part was we kept checking the recipe because we're like, should we not be adding the sauce while we're cooking all the pieces? We just felt like we were missing a step and we weren't. And it made so much sense at the end when we ended up putting it all together. And we're both like, okay, we're going to put the cornstarch and the water in. I don't know. And, you know, right? Because I'd never done that before. And it turned out great.
The sauce gives it that final reheat, right? Gets everything hot, it gives it steam. That's why you add it at the end, because you're stir frying your vegetables to get some like browning and crispiness. And then you get a steam at the end. So it's actually almost a combination of cooking methods. We could go on and on. I'm excited to talk about Mexican though.
We are. So now we're going to come all the way back to the other side of the world. We're going to talk a little bit of Mexican, and how we got on that is sort of, we were talking about topics and you guys mentioned it. And I said, well, I don't know, Taco Tuesday. And when we did Pantry, you know, the taco sauce was next to the meatloaf sauce, or the taco spice was next to the meatloaf spice, and you fix the meatloaf spice. So then we thought maybe we should address the taco spice while we're at it. But Mexican food, I think tacos, but I'm pretty sure there's probably more to it.
There's so much more than tacos. And I'm going to say tacos, burritos, right? Because that's what we know. In our world, like in Canada here, it's fast food. It's a lot of fast food. You drive through somewhere, pick it up, eat it, and late night. It's not seen as, it's not given the credit that it deserves. It's so much more from, you know, moles and taquito salsas, the sauces that you make with them, the corditos, all of those delicious things, braises, roast, grilled meat, ceviche. I'm going to let Kirsty say that one of her favorite Mexican words is the Mexican breakfast, which is, Kirst?
The chilaquiles, right? We're going to magically whisk you away on this little adventure. You know, we're going to take you from what, and like hands up, everyone put their hands up. We're going to take you from the yellow box, right? With those dusty hard shells.
So good though, really.
We're going to take you from there to an even easier and more delicious place.
Yeah. Are you saying that you're taking us from nostalgia, which is that yellow box, to authenticity, which is blending your own spices?
Yes. But that makes it sound difficult, Jody, right? Like sprinkle on some spices you already have at home is really what it is.
Just not from a package.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So where do you want to start?
Well, it's so interesting. You've just mentioned all kinds of things and none of them are protein. And when I think tacos, it's like, oh okay, well, I'm going to get the ground meat and then I'm just going to see whatever else is around. It's meat based. And I feel like you didn't even mention that. So there's got to be more to that too.
Let's do you want to tackle ground beef right off the get go? Like, let's talk about it. Kirsty will talk about the spices. I'm going to talk about how it can be really quick and easy. Right. You know, you had discussed when we were talking about this, you said, like, I don't want to spend hours in the kitchen worrying about this. Okay. We've got a secret. We've got some science there. If you mix, okay, a teaspoon of baking soda with a tablespoon of water, or just dissolve it in a little bit of water, then take that, mix your pound of ground beef with that, just kind of with your hands or stir it in the raw meat itself. Okay. Then you take that meat, go to the pan, brown it, add your salt, add your seasonings, and Kirsty's going to outline those. You've got tender, delicious meat that tastes like it has cooked for hours. That baking soda in there changes the pH level of the meat, prevents the meat from really getting into these tight coils, which makes it taste tough and chewy and keeps it just tender and delicious and soft. And when you go out to a restaurant, you're like, how is this so flavorful and so tender? It might just be that baking soda.
So, you know, when we were wanting to do this recipe, this Jody, you know where it came from is, you know, when the kids were little, it was like, hey, I want to reinvent the convenience food. So KD by Me is another one where I was like, I was going to be that good mom and be like, there is a box of Kraft Dinner in my fridge right now, in my cupboard right now. But at first I was like, I'm not going to use these convenience foods. I'm going to make up my own. So we do have the KD by Me, which is fantastic. And then it was like, okay, how do we recreate the yellow package, which is full of like, God knows what, right? I don't know. Amy, does it still in your cupboard?
No, I did get rid of it because I was told to get rid of it. So I don't know, but there was probably more ingredients that would fit on the back of the package, is my guess.
100%, right? You know how like when those packages sit around for like a decade, they get hard? Like there's something.
You just go like this, it's fine.
Yeah. So then after we've done what Jody said, right, you're browning your beef as you do with that salt, with that little baking soda trick, then I'm sprinkling on, this is stuff you have. Amy, do you have chili powder at home? Like just a generic chili powder? Yes. Do you have cinnamon?
Yes.
Do you have ground cumin?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm sprinkling on. And sprinkling on is the key word because we're blooming those spices in that beef fat. After that, in order to get us a nice cohesive kind of filling, I've added a couple tablespoons of tomato paste and a half a cup of water. And that's it. And I'm simmering that away for 15 to 20 minutes. Tacos are done. We're warming up. We like corn tortillas. Jody, what do your kids like better, corn or flour?
My kids won't say one way or the other. Like if I, whatever I feed them, they'll eat. So that's a great sign. I love the comfort of the corn tortilla sometimes. Sorry, of the flour tortilla. But I love the lightness of a corn tortilla. I like how it feels. It just feels a little bit more healthy when you're eating it, especially just for me, right? They're interchangeable. But we do love those corn tortillas, frying them into fresh chips, as you taught me. You know, Kirstie did, like when she was talking about making all of those things from scratch from her kids. She's so true. She's going to even make granola bars. I openly and secretly laughed at her. I was like, girl, this isn't going to last. I have kids, you know, a number of years older than hers. And I'm like, you really try. So if you can sprinkle that in wherever you can, and that you can adapt some of those things or adopt some of those things, that's great. But most of them you cannot do all of the time.
Tell me more about the corn, making the corn chips, though. That sounds yummy.
Like in Mexico, there's tortillerias, right? Like it's the bake shop on every corner where fresh corn tortillas are being made, at street stalls on the back of a pickup truck. And when you're going to try this, Amy, you're going to go to locally America Latina grocery store. You're going to get a big package of corn tortillas. Don't buy them at the grocery store. They're like 10 times the price, right? And you just put them in a dry frying pan about 30 seconds aside, and they go from, if you try to fold it out of the package, it just breaks. And then it becomes nice and pliable. That's day one. But then day two, it can turn into any number of things, right? What we were talking about before, you're cutting them into triangles and lightly frying them in oil for the best galdarn tortilla chip you're ever going to have. Day three, you're going to take those tortilla chips, you're going to simmer them with some salsa, serve it with some fried eggs, and you've got the dream breakfast of the chilaquiles with some queso fresco, right? Take me away, Jody, to that place. My husband's going to laugh because I'm going to talk about the guy on guitar. Maybe that's what I love about that breakfast place in Mexico. We're getting serenaded. We're eating chilaquiles, and it's so, so delicious.
There's like iguanas in all of the trees, like just giant. Like, I can't even show you the giant iguanas, like walking across the street in the trees. It was a magical, mystical place.
This is a good segue because I feel like you had eggs in mole, which is another thing we wanted to talk about, and which is sauce, right? Which is sauce. And over the years, Jody and I have done a lot of experimentation with dried chilies, which is also, I would say, a good backbone of Mexican cuisine, right? You've got your corn tortillas. Now you've got your chilies. Miss Presidente of the Spice Swim Club, Jody, though, is using these chilies because we've discovered that each one has different grades of, it's not all one heat. It's not all one flavor note, right? So the Guajillo chili, again, which you can buy at Sobeys now in the produce section.
Sobeys, listen up. You can sponsor this podcast.
And again, we've got, you're going to find these recipes in the show notes for a basic chili sauce that we're using as a backbone for so many things. So we've started you off with making tacos similar to the yellow box with a few spices, and you're going to love that so much that you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to dive a little bit deeper. I'm going to make this chili sauce. I can use in chilaquiles. I can use it in pozole. I can use it in my own chili con carne recipe or whatever. I don't know why it's called that.
And when you make the chili sauce, is it something you cook with, or is it the garnish afterwards, or both?
Both.
Okay.
It's a foundational sauce in a lot of ways, right? So you could make it with dried chilies and a bunch of, you know, like you can char some onions, char some tomatoes, char a jalapeno even in there for another layer of flavor, some garlic, just put that all in the oven. And then toast your chilies in a dry pan, rehydrate them in some water, then take all of that stuff. I like to add vinegar to my chili sauce and then put it into a blender, blend it all up. Then it has to go back on the stove to cook because all those ingredients are raw, right? They've been charred or dried, but they're still raw. And then you cook that up. That's the basis for, you know, adding more tomatoes for an enchilada sauce, adding, stirring it into some yogurt for like a really spiced crema, a gorgeously spiced crema, braising some chicken in it, right? Ooh. Like, it's just like, come on, right? We thought we were talking tacos and we're talking so much more today.
Yes, that sounds like a staple I would need. I could use it in so many places.
Yeah, and it freezes well.
Exactly, Jody. I got little containers and I feel rich. I feel rich as a human if I've got containers of Guajillo chili paste in my freezer, because then the world is my oyster. Can I talk about another one of my favorite ingredients that has come to our lives later on?
Of course.
And that is hominy, which leads us kind of to another of our favorite dishes, Jody, or mine anyways, is pozole, which is like a rich, meaty stew/soup that has hominy in it. Do you know what hominy is, Amy?
I do not. Tell me more.
It's a type of corn. It is a type of corn. You know what yellow corn looks like. Hominy kernels are white, generally white, bordering on golden. They're quite a bit larger, like the size of like a dime, I would say, if not, you know, and puffy and starchy. Think like corn meets potato. So even in a regular chili con carne, you know, that we know of.
You're saying con carne very anglicized. Say it with a little bit of a Mexican accent. Con leche, with milk. Con carne, with meat, right? Like con salsa, right? Like there's all of, with just means with meat.
Not just recipes, but language learning too.
Yeah, Jody's Spanish is really good.
Especially when I drink a margarita.
You can buy cans of hominy, just as you would cans of beans, cans of corn, anything. It's a can. You can, same with like a bean, you can buy dried hominy and you can rehydrate and all this kind of stuff. I did that once. I liked the can better, just as like I generally will like canned beans better. But from hominy, or with hominy, you are making pozole, which we also have a great recipe for on our website. And again, Jody, it's all about the garnishes when it comes to this stuff.
So let's build. If we build a taco, we've got 1 tablespoon of meat on that tortilla. That even if you're doing flour or you're doing corn, please warm it up, right? I get thoroughly offended because my family doesn't. And I'm like, it drives me crazy. I put a pan on, I preheat a pan to solid, you know, medium low heat, because once it's hot enough, that's hot enough for it. And you just give it a quick kiss in the pan, flip it over, warms it up, makes it flexible.
Did you say a tablespoon? You said a tablespoon of meat. Let that sink in, as they say.
I know. I wanted to like pause there because usually we dump as much meat as much meat as possible, and then a little bit of everything else, and then roll up the unheated tortilla and try and shove the meat that's falling out the sides.
Yeah. Because I'm going to give you so many more toppings to put on it, right? So we've got that little bit of cabbage, sour cream at its basis, you know, sour cream mixed with mayonnaise and a little bit of smoked paprika, make a delicious crema. Add a little bit of lime juice to that. Delicious. Any which way, any of those combinations would work. Then you've got, you know, a salsa. You've got a cooked salsa. And you're doing that in the fall. We made it. Kirsty ate like her 50 jars of salsa and like,
don't even want to talk about it. It makes me so sad. I'm out of it.
So then, yeah, you could add fresh cilantro. What else am I missing? Cheese. You've got queso fresco. You've got just traditional, you know, grated cheddar, mozzarella, mixed cheddar and mozzarella together.
Okay, so we've talked about how little meat we need and all of these fantastic garnishes and the spices. The one thing we haven't talked about are beans. Now, we add some boring beans, but beans are part of this mix too, right?
La costeña. I'm going to really like sound authentic there. I have adopted this brand. It's like a heat and serve, or maybe I'll zhuzh it up with a fried onion, garlic, and cumin, and then just dump the can in, Amy. You're just dumping in this can of la costeña, black beans, or the red beans. Absolutely love them. And they're almost soupy. And when we were in Mexico, you know, we'd go to a little taco and you'd get a little tiny dish of this to start. That was like the start of your meal.
Oh, so when you say dump the beans, do I drain it?
Not that brand.
Okay. So it depends on the brand, whether you drain them.
Yes. But even nowadays, all that bean water, it's aquafaba, is used in so many different ways. So, you know, some of them you need to like drain and rinse, but you know, like a traditional black bean that you buy in a supermarket, generic label or, you know, a name brand label, whatever it is, generally I would rinse those.
Okay.
But this brand, that the Mexican brand, then you'll find it in the Mexican section of the supermarket, and then add a little bit of garlic, add, you know, a teaspoon or a half teaspoon of whole cumin seeds, and then add those beans in, a little bit of water, just give them a good toss, let them cook out a little bit, smash them if you want. And yeah, you can either have that as a first course with, you know, a sprinkle of queso fresco, a squeeze of a lime on it, or you could sprinkle that in your taco. Kirst, do you have a thought?
Well, all I'm thinking of on it, this is like real life here. We literally did a cooking class yesterday with these beans, and it was a corporate cooking class as we do online, and Lord knows where this person was from, and she was really quiet. And out of nowhere, she unmutes herself and was like, I have never tasted beans this good. I cannot stop eating them. And we were like, wow, thanks so much for sharing. Jody's right. It doesn't take much, and it just to get them in your life, which is what we've been doing lately, and really delicious.
I love that. Get them in your life. And I never thought of a first course or on your own. I mean, obviously breakfast beans, yes, but I didn't think of it in this scenario. So it's another interesting way to, because I mean, my taco sounded pretty full even before you mentioned the beans. So it's great that you could eat them outside of the taco.
And, you know, the best thing about Mexican food is that, you know, everything goes together with everything. Like just this morning, I said, boys, thermoses. Right. How about Mexican rice? They're like, what's that? I'm like, I don't know. You're just going to love it, because I took all the leftover stuff from the dinner before, heated it up, right? Like beans, beef, rice, corn, pico, like, and it's in a thermos and it's going to be delicious.
Now on the rice, we didn't really mention rice because, again, back to normal Taco Tuesday with packaged spice, it's beef, cheese and rice, really. Is that not traditionally part of, because it doesn't sound like it would match all the things you just talked about.
For beef, cheese, and rice as Taco Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very original.
You just are missing all those garnishes on your Taco Tuesday. Kirsty and I do it with me. Hold your fake taco. And then when you eat it, right, you turn your neck.
Taco neck.
And the taco comes. Yeah, taco neck. It comes to you. It's not a no-fail method, right? Taco garnishes are going to fall onto your bed of rice.
Oh.
Yes.
Then you're going to like a little bit of here, a little bit of there, right? A little, that tablespoon now sounds a lot, right? Because you've got a tablespoon of a little bit of meat, a pico, a sauce, a salsa, a sour cream, queso, double queso, right? Like,
yeah, I think the rice is a Jody Kirsty thing because of exactly that, right? We like to get all the flavors out.
But I think that's probably a most people thing. I mean, even when we eat the boring Taco Tuesday, it falls all over the place and we just eat it off the plate. But to have the rice there, whatever falls in, and you can add then whatever you want. And it's, what a great idea. I am definitely implementing that.
My friends, companies have built companies on this exact idea. Chipotle, right? A yes. Bowl. Right. It's a rice bowl, my friends, with all those same garnishes that we spoke of. Right. So that's essentially, we're eating a taco, we're creating a bowl just as a, you know, like a side note. And then we're getting but what's the word that I'm thinking of?
Courses. The little beans are the first course, the taco's the second course, and the bed of rice with everything on it is the third course.
Yeah. Like it's meant to be.
It's amazing. Yeah, it is meant to be. That's, I didn't even think of it that way. What a great way to eat a meal like that.
As we're chit-chatting about, you know, Mexican food, and you know, we get, your mind goes back to where you really experienced a lot of authentic flavors. One of the things that I was thinking of, Jody, is that a lot of tacos have different times of day as well. So we've talked about chilaquiles, which is definitely a breakfast meal. Again, we need to share these recipes because you need to make them. You especially, Amy. Pozole is special occasion, right? I remember our surf instructor dropping us off and I was so curious. I was like, what are you doing today? He's like, I'm making pozole with my sister. Do you know what that is? And I was like, yes, I do. And he's like, it's my grandmother's birthday. So it's a very special, because it makes a lot, right? It's a feast. And then the other thing that's become really, really popular as of late is birria tacos, which are tacos that are served with, where the beef is essentially simmered. It's like a braised beef. So it's like, what do I want to say, Jody? Like a blade roast, something like tougher cut of meat, not ground, that's simmered until it's like shredded. And it's always served with a cup of the broth to dip it in. And those tacos are breakfast tacos. Like you're only getting, that truck is only pulling up from like 8 a.m. until maybe, I don't know, what was it, like 10? We were like running down our little condo steps. I'm like, the truck's going away just to get these breakfast birria tacos. There was another fantastic birria place. We stayed in small town Bucerias and it closed at 1 p.m. Like you had to get there. It was, you're not getting birria at night. So it's interesting and it's so meaty and like hearty.
We're going to celebrate Kirsty's birthday. And I'm pretty sure she said America Latina. We're going to go there and have some tacos.
You know, you mentioned restaurant and generally there's a Mexican dish on a lot of menus at whatever restaurant. And this conversation sort of turned my mind to, it might be better to learn to make it at home. Back to that authenticity piece, Jody, about, and I love the idea of adding what you're feeling like that night. There's so many options that it's very individualized depending on who you're eating with or what you're eating or what you're celebrating. It's such an interesting way to put a meal together.
Yeah. Like our way, like the Canadian way or in Canadian restaurants, what we've got is we've got these two tacos that are just stuffed, right? They're down your arm. You're like, do I want to eat? I did the other day. And I was like by the end, you're just like shoving it in your face because you're trying to hold it all in. People, kitchen staff, throw four tacos, divide the same amount, into four tacos. The value looks better. They're more pleasant to eat. Don't just give me two shoved tacos, like a giant piece of fish. Cut it in half. Save the same amount of food. Just give me two more shells to eat it in a very respectable way.
The messy that it always is. And a plate of rice for underneath.
Yes. Amy will also share the recipe for our fish tacos.
I did want to talk fish tacos because on our trip, well, in our, I often order things in restaurants that I was intimidated to make, which is everything, but tacos, fish tacos would be one. When I'm on my travels, it's so fresh and so yummy. And then I don't think to make that at home at all. So tell me a little bit about that.
A deep fried fish taco is my dream come true, right? Like the little stand outside of the church in Bucerias, right? I took my mom to church and then I promised her fish tacos afterwards that were just to die for. And but what we wanted to share is something that was so fast and delicious that ours are baked, and we get really great fish from T&J Seafoods, like a cod, right? We're in Ontario, right? We're getting Newfoundland cod, you know, that's something like that. And it's all about the spice paste, which I think we've talked about before, and you're baking it and then getting back to those simple little garnishes, the cabbage, maybe a little mayo, because it's a leaner style of fish taco, but so, so delicious. So like we're arming you with a fish taco recipe. We're arming you with the basic taco recipe that like the kit, like everyone loves. Pozole, which is a bit more of a project, but super satisfying. Chilaquiles, I don't know. I feel, and oh yeah, and our chili sauce, our guajillo chili sauce, chili paste, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yes. I really want to try this. Yeah. I really want to try the chili sauce for sure.
Yes.
Because I feel like that would set me up for all of the things that you just said. I think we talked when we started talking and I thought it was going to be like, here are my tacos. What's a good taco? And you guys were like, no, it's way more than tacos.
We'll have to do part two.
Thank you for joining us in the kitchen today. If you'd like to know more about what we talked about, including recipes, recommendations, and links to Jody and Kirsty's full selection of online classes, you can find everything in the show notes or visit the Culinary Studio website. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast and take a moment to leave us a review. Chef Over Your Shoulder is a member of the Bespoke Productions Hub podcast network. Happy cooking.